Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Be watchful and strengthen the remaining things that are about to die. Why do we come to church? There are a number of possible reasons for coming to church. There is the pleasure of seeing our friends. Sometimes there is a little pressure that we are expected to be at church. We may come out of habit or a sense of duty. None of these motives are bad, but they are rather empty. If these are the only reasons for coming, we probably expect more or less to sleep through church, enjoy the social life, and go home largely unaffected. But the Lord says to us, wake up! The church in Sardis represents a large group in the Christian world who are in dead worship. They go to church, take the Holy Supper, chat about life after death and other religious topics. They pray. They may even read the word devotionally. But they are not interested in learning anything by these efforts. And they don't think about living according to the word. Sardis people believe that worship rituals are all that is required to go to heaven. So they scarcely ever think about their daily lives from a religious standpoint. Their worship is compared to the lovely skin of a fruit in which rotten, worm-eaten pulp lies hidden. The writings comment, it is well known that such worship is prevalent in the church today. The Lord calls himself the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The Lord can put life and spirit in our worship by showing us beautiful truths that change our lives if we are willing. He holds out the seven stars to us, the knowledge of what is good and true. Stars represent knowledges because they are points of light in the sky. The Lord wants us to have this knowledge, to be delighted with it, and to use it to light and guide our way. This knowledge can show us whom we worship and why we worship him. It can make worship a meaningful part of life, adding to the perfection of our daily lives. The challenge for the people of Sardis is that at this stage, they don't care about learning what is true. If they think about it at all, they say, what do I need truths for? What is truth? They have a name or reputation for being living, caring members of the church, but the Lord sees that spiritually they are dead, or at least sleeping. If they were to die now, they would not be ready for heaven. They could not stand the light of heaven, which is truth, much less the heat of love there. Heavenly life is a life according to truths. Angels want to know what the Lord thinks about the way they live. They want to learn how to govern their lives by his word. The reason angels keep growing happier and their lives and marriages never grow stale is that they are always learning new things from the word and how to apply them. This is an unending source of new challenges, new satisfaction in their uses, and new closeness in their marriage and other friendships. Truths define our attitudes in relation to others. They show us what we should expect of ourselves and of them. Take, for example, the teaching that in the highest heaven, a husband looks at other women only through the eyes of his wife. He aims to see from her point of view, with his affections directed to his wife and controlled by his love for her, which is more precious to him than anything else. This is a beautiful goal to work for, though it may be high above where we are now. At times, we will feel badly because we have not lived up to it. But without the goal, we could never improve. We have the teaching that charity itself is doing our work honestly and faithfully. This shows that what we do every day can be a life of love toward our neighbor. It offers the highest motives to aim for in the work that we do all the time. It shows us how we can be preparing for heaven in our everyday lives, learning to love the welfare of others by serving them justly and faithfully. The Lord offers truths for every state and situation, both uplifting ideals and practical rules of life. As new church people, we celebrate how the Lord, by his heavenly doctrine, has come to extend the protection and peace of his government to all areas of our life, if we are willing. By his word, the Lord God Jesus Christ reigns, whose kingdom shall be for ages of ages. But what happens if someone's not interested in truths? He or she will probably live the same outward life as someone who loves truths, because there are many incentives built into society to keep people in order. But this person doesn't make the Lord's teachings the motives for his life. He may think that religious talk and attending services is enough. He never looks seriously at himself to see if he's living the way the Lord teaches. He doesn't uncover areas of selfishness and worldliness in himself, so he does nothing to change. If some bad behavior or attitude is forced on his attention, he calls it a slip, or excuses it in various ways, or even labels it a good quality, assertiveness, ambition, good fun, and so on. Apocalypse Revealed comments, "Don't people think that it doesn't really matter what truths a person knows these days, provided he goes to church? And because few search the Word in order to learn truths and live by them, people know nothing about worship, whether it is dead or living. Yet, according to the quality of worship, the person himself is either dead or living." Apocalypse Revealed 161. The Lord says, "I have not found thy works fulfilled before God." Devotions, merely out of habit and for social advantages, are empty of spiritual life. The Lord warns that he will come as a thief when we don't expect him, and we will lose all the external appearances of being a good person. It's not that the Lord sneaks up on us. It's that we are asleep, paying no attention. We are asleep to the reality of our own eternal destiny, unconscious of the spiritual issues in our lives that need to be addressed. The Lord doesn't steal anything from us. In the other life, we give up going to church and pretending to worship because we were never really interested in them anyway. The Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many works of power?' And then I will profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity.'" The question is, what do we want? Do we care whether or not we are real Christians, new church people? Would we mind being seen as dead by the Lord and the angels as long as our friends here didn't know? What kind of people do we want to be in the next life? The Lord advises Sardis, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and observe and repent." This is the solution. We have these good habits already. We just need to wake up and apply what we are hearing in church to our lives. Then the Lord can make our worship sincere and alive. We will worship the Lord in our whole lives. The Lord promises we will walk with him in white garments. Garments are our ideas, by which we frame our hopes and goals and share them with others. The angels, because their goals are shaped by true ideas from the Lord, are seen in the Word, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, often shining with light. We too are invited to walk with the Lord, with thoughts that are clean and worthy of His company. The Lord doesn't expect our lives to be spiritual all at once. We are born preferring the pleasures of this world to the pleasures of heaven. The first step is to develop habits of an outwardly orderly life, including regular opportunities to learn about the Lord and eternal life. As we learn and practice what we learn, we change little by little under the Lord's care. Spiritually, we put on wedding garments and are prepared to greet the bridegroom. He has invited us to the wedding as one of His friends, and He welcomes us and introduces us into the company of His other friends. Let's watch for when the Lord comes to us, since we don't know the hour when He will come. He comes to us in little ways each day, with opportunities for us to walk with Him. If we take advantage of the wonderful truths He has given us at His second coming, our whole life can become a form of living worship and gratitude to Him. Happy are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.